relatively short time. Three people who were very close to me have died. Today, in paper, Ken Jemery died. And Ken is a very old friend of mine who he was the founder of Half Price Books. And he died last night.
Monday,
whenever it died. But this thing about death is so critical to the understanding of the cross that if we don't understand these examples that we've seen, especially in Steve, or now in these two people, my cousin that I grew up with, and Ken Jemery, who I spent 10 years with, 10 years arguing with. But we were friends. But what can we learn from death? And that's going to be what we're going to talk about for the next few days. Let's go to first. The predicate will be Revelation 13. Actually, Revelation 14. This is a scripture that's read at just about every Christian funeral that I've ever been to. And it's verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But they don't read that one. They just read this one. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, have you rested from your labors? If you haven't rested from your labors, if you haven't rested from any care, from any concern, from any plans, from any ideas, if you haven't rested from them, then these deaths are in vain. And you're still walking as a Gentile. Now, consider Steve right now. Let's assume, for the sake of discussion, which I'm convinced that he's with the Father. Steve has absolutely no cares. He has no worries. He's at total peace. He's enveloped in love. There's absolutely no anxiety. There's no free-floating crap that goes around and bugs him. Now, can you understand? That is your heritage. If you stop believing the evil one, if you stop believing the evil one and his counselors in your head. Blessed are they which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Does anybody hear me? Do you understand death is universal? It's total, it's complete. There's no discussing, there's no debating with it. But we are of they that have overcome this last enemy, which is death. And we have overcome it by accepting our own death totally and completely, and thereby his revelation comes forth. Much more sure than that incredible revelation that Peter and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were eyewitnesses to the transfiguration of Jesus Christ and looking into this eternity and seeing Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And they heard, the many eyewitnesses to that. Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. I won't mention any names this morning, but yesterday, whenever it was, I forgot. Somebody came to me with this huge complaint about everything was wrong. And they were so totally out of the rest that it made my life and my time with that particular person a total and complete wash. Everything I've preached and everything I've ever said, that person was wasted. Because they were so upset at a brother that they would have, that by their spiritual actions, he killed the brother. Now, this happens all the time. And it only happens so that God, by His Spirit, using that angel of God that makes you mad, show you where you haven't died to yourself yet. Where you're still holding on to your rights. Where you're still holding on to your little precious ideas. Don't you see that if you hate your brother, it's murder? If you can't forgive from the heart everyone and everything, then Christ, God can't forgive you. Pettiness of being upset over some little thing in the face of death is beyond my comprehension. I don't care how big you think your problem is. It is petty. It is meaningless in the face of death. Anybody have any response? Anybody, something? Anything come up in anybody when I was talking?
And this is kind of an odd thing, but how quickly this body that we treasure and flesh is so important, how quickly it decays in the moment of death, right? That's how important to God this is.
Well, the decay process starts instantly.
Yeah. So put your treasure in this, same with the pertaining place.
But can you see how terrible it is to be upset at a brother? If you're upset at them, then you haven't laid your life down for them. You haven't accepted your own death. You still believe you have rights. And therefore you still believe in the Antichrist as your God. You're worshiping the stupid God, which is yourself. It's the Antichrist masquerading as you. Let's go to Psalm 39. Nobody has any? Something's going on. Mike?
Tuesday.
why we have drug and alcohol addiction. So how we, it's just a picture of how we are addicted to ourselves. That's why death has to be the... You have to die to self. You have to... And when the one that has raised himself from the dead, from the dead, the head wound raises up, as he will, you don't have to pay any attention to the thoughts of that evil one. Oh, no, they're not the evil one's thoughts, they're my thoughts. No, they're not. They're the evil ones masquerading as you, and his purpose is to keep you alone and separate. Of just being alone all the time? You know what I mean? It's the loneliness beyond loneliness because you have leprosy of the forehead. Remember the leprosy of the forehead? It is so serious that you cannot even be with other lepers in the leper colony. Well, leprosy of the forehead is a type of these private thoughts that aren't expressed or expressed in gossip or tale-bearing. And then they begin, that festers, and pretty soon spiritually, you might as well have a sign on your forehead, I am a leper. And people will respond to you the way you respond to them. You understand that? And God will respond to you the way you respond to him. The merciful, he will show himself merciful. How in God's name can we, upon whom so many, many tons of mercy and grace have been given to us, how can we be anything but merciful to anyone else? You don't understand my problem. I'll tell you what I'll do. Anyone in here, I'll trade your problem with you. This instant. Just, if I can be at peace, so can you. It's not anything about me. It's about my death and his life. I don't have to be afraid of the faces of men or what people's response to me is. Don't you understand? The only reason that's done in me is so that you can see it as a living example of faith. That faith is what produces that. The faith can't come unless you accept your death. You think Steve's mad about something? Is he upset? Is he angry at Robert? Is he angry at Michelle? He's in the arms of the Father, but so are you. You were there from the beginning of time. You were in the arms of the Father before the foundation of the earth. And all the stuff that's taken place in your life was ordered by him so that you would fit perfectly into this mystery of the body of Christ. You've been forgiven of everything. Now it's time to forgive yourself. Stop trying to fix flesh, Ronnie.
Don't name any names.
I'm not going to name any names. Welcome back, Ronnie. Flesh cannot be fixed. Yeah, look around. Let's start in Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing, is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now, vanity doesn't mean he likes to look at himself in the mirror. The word vanity in the scriptures means fruitless, empty, without value. If you can accept that you're in that position, instead of all the psychobabble you've heard all your life and all of the Oprah bullshit, then finally you can find out that there is a resurrection, because you have accepted your death and he will be revealed himself in you. My God, you have to wait on him. You have to stop blaming others for your condition. Verily I say unto you, man at his best state is altogether empty, fruitless, without value. Now, you believe that? I don't think you do, because you don't live it. Oh, it's so tempting to leave the cross for a minute. And let's go give somebody some advice. I love it when you do that. Boy, do I love that. Let's give somebody some advice on how they can get better and fix themselves. God help anybody that does that here. Am I clear? Place is about his resurrection and our death. It's not for everyone. It may not be for you. It certainly isn't for your mind. Your mind, right? They want to be Levites. And so I spent considerable time trying to talk them out of it. But the bottom line issue is you understand that the only true Levites are the ones that have no other place to go, that have no options. And as long as you have one option in your mind, then you may be a Levite in name, but you're not a Levite in spirit. I don't have any options. I used to hate that. I don't have any options. Now, what's true for the Levites is also true that the only purpose of the Levites is to be a living picture of faith. That they have no inheritance in the land. If you have no inheritance, that means you have no rights. So that picture must be a true parable as much as possible with the Levites, with us. But if you're a Levite and you think you got, oh, I'm going to go, I've got this option, I can do that, I can go back there, you know, then you're in Levite in name only. Ronnie wanted to go back, and he wanted to go back. I'm going to pick on Ronnie this morning. Welcome back, Ronnie. Ronnie wanted to go out and make, he wouldn't be like a normal person. He's been called of God. He's not a normal person. Hallelujah. He's been called to be just exactly as he is, not to have some psychobabble, fucked up preacher telling him how to get better. Because your mind wants to believe that. Hear this. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether fruitless, empty, without purpose, and void. That's what John the Baptist said our job was. It was to bring forth that fruit that was necessary. Bring forth that evidence that all men are as nothing. They have no value at their best state. Oh no, not us. We go around, we admire sports figures, and we admire all the other crap. What are you laughing at? I got two verses. I wanted to do Psalm 39 and Psalm 90 this morning. Glenn, are you okay?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Nothing.
You okay? No, you're not. Well, talk about it then. That's what it is. It must be brought forth at the gate in front of everybody, that it, because it's happened for other people's benefit.
Better remain small so you don't
think. Well, you talk about it.
Well, he's talking about me. I got really upset the other day. But I got more upset with you. The call.
Well, talk about it, Harry. You're not talking about it. So it's not of any value to anybody. Everything about a Levite is open, transparent. We commend ourselves openly to every man in the sight of God.
Understand that
is, it's a fiery dart of the evil one that's going. going, you don't know it, but it affects your relationship to Robert and to everybody else. Now, the only question is, can you seek his forgiveness? My knee was as big as a barn because they had left some gravel and other stuff underneath the kneecap. And so had it been properly cleaned at the moment that it was injured, you know, whether it was with water or whatever they do, but they didn't. They did a sloppy job. And so, you know, it just was huge, and I had to go back in, and the worst stuff in the universe came out. It was just, you know, it was the pus and the green and the, it smelled so bad, it was, I can still remember it. It's unbelievable smell. Well, there was, the only thing that was in there at first was the rock, or the little pieces of thing that were innocent. There were not anything wrong with them. But by the time it got opened up, the body had caused that little insignificant thing to become this smelly crap. What's the saying? That's what you've done. You have caused, because there was no prophesying, you have caused that little insignificant thing that Robert does or doesn't do to become this stench. Because it wasn't spoken. It's not, don't you understand? Is that pitch, can I make that picture any clearer? It has nothing to do, it's not a big thing. It's a question, okay? If you could only know how much right now that what you said has hurt Robert. And that's what we do around here.
I'm thinking how convoluted we make things, because there's really no shame whatsoever in the way you feel or act or you or anybody. That's just people. That's what they do.
Shame is that we're acting like Gentiles. As long as it's spoken openly. Levi is one of the same. I mean, there's two kinds of Levites. There's what we call a meet Levite, meet need, and then those are Levite, and then those that have taken the vow of poverty. So, everybody, they're called Levites, but we should have had two different classes, because the Levite is the lowest of the classes.
You graduate
down to Levite. But if you're a Levite at that level, if you've taken a vow of poverty, you have no rights. You have no inheritance. That means you have no rights. You are to be broken bread and poured out wine to meet the needs of others without regard to yourself. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is unimportant. Again, you think, you know, can you imagine in your wildest dreams that Steve has anything against Robert or Harry or anybody else? Of course not. Well, why then do we have things against somebody or try to compare things or try to identify and try to look for fault? Why do we do that? Because the evil one is trying to keep us alive. So the resurrection doesn't happen. So we don't know the joy of that resurrection, the joy of the mystery, the joy of the fellowship. Pretty soon, we feel separate and alone. And our mind says, that's how you always felt. No, it isn't. A lie. You've tasted that the Lord is good, or you wouldn't be here this long. Take heed right now as to that light shining in a dark place until a day dawn, until a day star arise in your heart. Take heed only to that light. Set your eyes only in that light and nothing else.
This most recent thing with me meeting Robert is thinking that thing of a turning swords into plowshares. I can see very clearly that I don't know who the other people are. I don't know what the other things are. I'm sure it'll pop up at the appropriate time. But this is an example of having a quiver full of arrows prepared. What I've seen in Robert, what I saw in Robert 10 years ago at Cumberland Cove, is one of the things that he has that's exactly what I feel guilty about, what I feel, what I'm afraid of, what I'm...
I know, but he doesn't feel guilty about it.
I know, but...
He's just Robert. That's who he's supposed to be.
And it's getting that thing that I fear and embarrassed and feel bad about is getting worse. And I've just got him ready. When I know it's coming in me, I'll take him.
Can't do that anymore.
It makes me feel that it allows me to hide from the thing.
Can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I'm really sorry about it.
As I'm getting well, you cannot do that anymore. You know that I didn't call you on it that night.
I'm glad you didn't. I think I would have hit you with a chair. I did.
I was so out of it I could hardly move. That's probably why he would have hit me with a chair. That would have been fun, wouldn't it? I bet I would have gotten well real quick. Adrenaline would have resurrected. All right. Think on these things. Next time something is troubling you, ask if it's troubling Steve. Next time something might, but the other thing is read at those funerals. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I do not need anything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, no evil one, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy correction, comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, for me in the presence of mine enemies. The only table that he's ever talking about is the table of the presence. The presence, that's from which we eat. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. And he anoints it, and my cup runneth over. I always have too much. I can't know lack. I can't know need. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all, or pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Part of the psalm we were going to read is, says, my habitation has been with thee from everlasting. You understand what that means? It means everything else has been just an illusion, a vapor of smoke. All the things that you give importance to are less than nothing. Now it's time that we truly begin to exhort one another daily. Not exhort to be different, but exhort that if they see something wrong in someone else, that it is time that they turn their swords of the cutting that other person up into plowshares, digging instruments, to find out that person that they're angry at, upset at. I don't care if it's everybody in the community. It's to cause you to go into yourself, to dig, to find out where you're still holding on to self. Where you've allowed the evil one to resurrect himself from the deadly head wound. Welcome back, Ronnie.
I thought you'd help me once over.